Okay, so we're on Daf Pei tonight. So if you remember yesterday, we spoke about a man who goes abroad, and either he comes back with his wife, and there are kids that are clinging to the wife, or he comes back and he says, "I had a wife. I married a woman. He's a kohen. He'd be a kohen. I married a woman outside of Israel. She's dead, and or I married a woman outside of Israel. Here she is, and she has the kids clinging to her." So the Gemara says, as he has to establish the bona fides of the wife, either they know the wife from before, or the wife's coming in, so we establish the bona fides of the wife. But once the kids are clinging to the mother, we assume that those are indeed her children. So the Gemara says on the bottom line on Ayin Ten of Beis 79b, page 158, the bottom line, Amar Reish Lakish, Lo Shanu, El Katshe Gvul. So we said that the children, their yichus is fine. In other words, he's a Kohen. He has the wife, he's established the bona fides of the wife, and they have these kids. The kids are clinging to her. So we said that the kids are fine, that those are he's established those are her children, but that only means for katshei gavul purposes. Katshei gavul are things that could be eaten outside of Yerushalayim, like truma. So it's, yeah, for truma, we'll let them eat truma. About b'yuchsin, lo. But as far as yuchsin per se, and Rashi says, let's say he has daughters. So we wouldn't let the daughter necessarily marry a Kohen. We know that we would not rely on it. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Filu B'Yochsin. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, we can rely on this presumption even for Yichus, the whole shebang. We're going to rely. In other words, the presumption is the kids who are clinging to her are indeed her children. So Rabbi Yochanan says, even for Yichus, we can rely on that. So on the second line in Pei Amud Aleph, Ba'az the Rabbi Yochanan Tame, Rabbi Yochanan follows his Shita, the Amr of Chibar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, Malkin al ha-chazakot. Again, we speak about chazaka tonight. We're talking about a presumption, a presumption of chazaka. Chazaka means a lot of different things. Last night we spoke of chazaka was the previous status. We had like the mikveh had a status was a chazaka. Today we're talking about a presumption. So here the presumption is the kids are clinging to the mother; those are her kids. So Rabbi Yochanan says Malkin al ha-chazakot. We'll explain shortly. We give somebody malkot based on a chazaka, and soklin with sorfin al chazakot, we give skilan srifa, which are death penalties based on a chazaka, but ain sorfin truma al chazakot. But we wouldn't burn truma based on a chazaka, and we'll explain the reason for that. You would think if you can execute somebody, so certainly you would burn truma if it became tame, but we'll explain what's going on with that. So the first halacha, malkin al chazakot, Rav Yehuda. We'd give malkin to somebody based on a chazaka. Like Rav Yehuda explains, the Amar Rav Yehuda, Huxka Nida B'Shchenoteha. If a woman is presumed to be a Nida by the neighbors, in other words, she's wearing, when women would be Nida, as one Chazal, in other words, they would wear special clothes that would designate them as a Nida. Today, Nida only has implication for the husband. In other words, the only one that needs to know that she's a Nida is the husband, because there are no other implications other than their relationship. The relationship. But Bizman Chazal, if a person was Anita, so you need to know, like who she's going to touch Taharot, she'll touch other things, everybody's going to know who's Anita, who's not Anita. So here's Huska Anita B'Shkinotah. So she went around with these begadim that indicate she's Anita, so it's a presumption from the neighbors that she's Anita. But they didn't see that she had blood or anything like that, but the presumption is she's Anita. And then Baala Lokela Mishamnita. If her husband has relations with her that day, then he gets malkot. In other words, it's a chiyuv kare to have relations with a woman who's a nida. And but if the Gemara learns Masechet Malkot, if they give him hasra for malkot, he gets malkot. So Rabbi Yehuda says, indeed, a man would receive malkot just based on that presumption that she's a nida. That's one chazaka. That's the first halakha. Let me do one more halakha, then I'll pause. Soklin v'sorfin al chazakot. So again, Rabbi Yochanan said you can get skila or sreifa based on chazakot, again, presumptions. Kidurabba bar Rav Huna, like Rabba bar Rav Huna explains. The Amar Rabba bar Rav Huna, Ish for Isha, Tinok v'tinoket, Sheigdilu b'tochabayit. Let's say you have a family comes here and they're raising kids. And the presumption is that the kids that they're raising are their children. That's the presumption. Everybody assumes that way. He says, Niskalin ze al ze. If the man would have relations with his daughter, Chas v'Shalom, or the woman that we think is his daughter, he would get skila. And conversely, if I didn't say right, I didn't say right. If let me go back. He says that if if the boy, right, if the son would have relations with his mother, he would get skila. He says, and if the man would have relations with his daughter, the daughter would get sreifa. He says, the and then Amar of Shimon Pazi, Amar of Shimon Levi, Bishumbar Kapara. So Rishuman Levi, he lives around, he's right, Rishuman Levi, I told you, is the only one who's mentioned in the Mishnah. He's mentioned in the Brisa, and he's mentioned in the Gemara. He's mentioned in the last Mishnah of Sefer. So Rishuman Levi, he has a Masorah from Bar Kapara. Bar Kapara is among the last of the Tanaim. So he says, Yerushalayim. There's a woman who came to Yerushalayim, Betinok Mor Kavla Teifa. A child was riding on her shoulder. Now, the also said shoulders with an S, but Teifa, I think, is shoulder. So, like, their shoulders would be like piggyback, but I think it sounds like one shoulder. But either way, the presumption is that child is that's her own child. She raised it, and then when the child got older, she had relations with this child, uskalom, and then they brought it to us, and they gave him skila. It doesn't mean that we know with absolute certainty that this was indeed her son, because he was like clinging to her. So we assume that he's the son. All right. Since we have some time, let me do a little bit with the Rashi's on this. Let me see what we have here. Let's take a look. Let me take a look. I think we're okay with this. Let me go with this. Other words, there's a presumption that that's the son. Presumption, but we didn't absolutely 100% prove it with Aedes. Okay. He says, here we'll do just the Rashi's on the Skila. Each for each of Tino Pinokin Shagulabatoka by it, the Cheskachi Ishto Velubinayim, with the presumption that she's the wife and these are their children. But we don't know anything from absolute Eidos. Okay. And then the presumption that it's child. Okay. So the idea we're saying is that in halakha there's an idea of chazaka. Again, chazaka means a lot of different things in halakha. Here we're doing with the idea of chazaka, a presumption. That based on presumption, we're going to even execute people based on presumption or give malchut to people based on a presumption. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far?
Mentioned a woman, a Jewish woman, has a nida. But what's halacha with the non-Jew?
No, tumor, they're nothing. Zero. Zero. All right, any
I
other?
have a
Okay.
question.
Okay, let's hear what Ruth. I thought you were going to ask me what his question was. His question was, what about a non-Jewish woman who was a nida? So there's no dealing with that. Okay,
Okay,
now what's your question?
back to the Nida. She's dressed like a Nida, so the world knows it, and he has relations with her anyway. Who is going to be the one to call the cat, put the bell around the cat to say that he's now Chayav Malkos?
No, it means like this, that if Adam would come and say, you should know if you have relations with this woman, then you're going to be chayav malkot. And then he has relations with her, and the Adam see the Adam witnessed enough to conclude that he had relations with her. So then the Bezdin would issue malkot.
If he
Right, you need to give a straw for the
so
malkot.
what's my relationship? Don't do it. Don't
Right.
because
All right. Okay, I'm going to
yes
move
and
on.
no. Yes and no. If he is so unresolute to have relations with her, even though she's a Nida, he doesn't know how to hide it so that there are no we aid him to notice.
I don't know what he knows and doesn't know, but he got hasra, he got warning from the Edom that if he has relations with a woman, he'll be chayav malkot, and he went ahead and had it. Okay, that's the fact pattern. Okay, let me move on in the Gemara now. Now let's take a look back in the Gemara. All right, now we're around like almost midway down the column on Pei Amud Aleph. Okay, now the third halacha that Rabbi Yochanan said, which seemed a little bit like an outlier. Main sorf and truma lechazakot. We don't burn truma based on a chazaka. Now it's going to be based on the idea that a child, pokes around everywhere. A child pokes around in the garbage, and the child mistama touches nevelot. Nevelot is an avatuma. He touches shkatzim, which are an avatuma. And then if he touches truma, so the presumption, I don't know that the child touched those things. But the presumption would be that the child touched those things. And now he touches truma. So Rabbi Yochanan holds that we're not going to burn the truma based on the child's touching it. Okay, we'll see. We'll have to explain why. Okay, so he says, "Vein sorfin truma lachazakot." The Amr Reb Shimon Lakish sorfin lachazakot. So Reb Shimon Lakish, who ends up being Rabbi Yochanan's brother-in-law, he says we do burn based on a chazaka. Rabbi Yochanan Omer ain sorfin. Rabbi Yochanan says no, we don't. But as do the tamayo, they each follow their shitot. Done. We learn the Mishnah Masechet Taharot. Tinok shem tzabatzara isa. If I find a small child on the side of a pile of dough, the dough will assume is, let's say, truma. He says ubatzek biado, and the child has some dough in his hand. It's like very, you know, very incriminating evidence. So he's got the dough in his hand. Rabbi Meir Matahir. Rabbi Meir says that the dough, in other words, all the dough is tahor. But Chachamim mitamim, and the Chachamim say the dough is tameh. They should dark or shaltino platapeach. Because the normal way of a child is to like poke his hands in everything. So, Bahavinaba, we were osek in this Mishnah, and we asked the following question. Mai tamed rameir. So we understand why the Chachamim say that it's tameh. We don't understand why rameir says it's tahor. He says, so the Gemara says, Kasava robtino kot metapchin. Rameir holds most kids like poke around all over the place. Umiyure metapchin. But some children don't poke all over the place. So there's a robe that most kids are poking around. It means, so the robe would cut towards that the child is tamim. He says, V'isa b'cheskatara omedet. The Isa, though, has a cheskatara. Here we're using chazaka differently, right? But not a presumption, it has the status of Tahara, right? In other words, so the Isa has the status of Tahara. Usmoch miyuta l'chazaka itra le'ruba. So we have three things going on. We have a row of the kids, they touch all over the place. A minority kids don't touch all over the place. And we have, so on one column, again, let's make, like in our minds, make two columns. Like one column is cutting towards Tahara, one column is cutting towards Tuma. So in one column, what's the prosecution and defense, so to speak. So to make it tamei, I have rov tinokot metapin. Most kids poke all over the place. That cuts towards tuma. But on the other hand, the isa has a cheskas tahara. It has presumption of tahara, and there's a miut, a minority of kids don't poke all over the place. So Rameir holds is an idea. Smoke me uta la kazaka. I'm going to take the miut, the minority, and join it together with the chazaka. In other words, robe the chazaka. If I just have a robe and a chazaka, the robe wins. But here I have a robe on one side, I have a miut with the chazaka on the other side. So smoke miut to the chazaka. Take the miut, join it with the chazaka, and now, according to a mayor, that side wins the argument. We don't know 100% what the facts are, but that's the way the mayor says. Let's see back in the Gemara. He says, So the robe has been impaired. The robe has been impaired. Now, again, this is a type, when we talk about robe and miyot here, we're talking about a ruba delay to come on and a miyot delay to come on. In other words, there's different types of robes, right? There's a robe, there's a statistical robe, like statistical. So that's a ruba delay to come on. That's a robe that's not in front of us. In other words, they're not here that I can count. It's just in the belt rhyme. That's a ruba delay to come on. So here, this robe is late to come on. This robe is not in front of us. Now, Rameir is chay shlem yuti. Remember, the Gemara has a case with Yibam. In other words, why is it that a minor can't do Yibam or can't do Yibam? In other words, let's say you have a boy who's 9 and a half, or the girl, the widow, let's say, would be 3 and a half. Why can they not do Yibam? So Rameir says they can't do Yibam because most kids grow up and they'll develop normally, but a miut won't. A miut won't. In other words, Rameir is kosh, right? So and that's also a robe that's late to come on, and a miut late to come on. So Rameir is chayish lemiuta. Rameir, in these cases, he's koshish for the miut. So the miut we view as being here and smoke miut to the chazaka. But for Rabbanan, back in the Gemara, for Rabbanan, Mi'uta k'man d'leita dami. The Chachamim view the miyut as if it's not there. In other words, once I have the rov, we're done with the rov. In other words, most kids have the rov one way and the miyut this way. But then once we have the rov, the miyut is like it doesn't exist anymore. Ruba b'chazaka, ruba adam. So we have a rov and a chazaka. So the rov wins the day according to the Chachamim. Okay? So that's just to explain the shita of Reb Meir and the Chachamim in the Mishnah Masechet Taharot. Now, when we spoke about chazaka here in the Gemara, like the chazaka is the chazaka we're talking about is presumption. So here in the Gemara, and I was discussing this with Rabbi Roblowski today, so he was saying like the way the Gemara has it, in other words, like the rov is really the chazaka. In other words, that's the way the Gemara is going back and forth. In other words, the presumption is that the child touched something which is tami, which is the rov. That's the way the Gemara is using the terms. Amar Reish Lakish from Shubha Oshia, Reish Lakish says the name of Rav Oshia, Zui Shesorfin Ala Ratruma. So working within the sheet of the Chachamim hold that the Isa is Tame, right? The Chachamim hold that the dough is Tame. So Reish Lakish says the name of Rav Oshia, this is the case that we're also going to burn it. In other words, when they say it's Tame, not that it's Safek, it's Tame. It's Tame, 100% Tame, and we're even going to burn Truma based on it. If it's Truma, we're going to burn it. Because Truma becomes Tame, has to be burned. Rav Yochanan Amar, Ein Zu Chazaka Shesorfin Ala Truma. Yochanan says, no, we wouldn't burn it. In other words, it's not so strong that it would permit us to burn the Truma. Because this is all built on what? On this robe, right? In other words, even within the Chachamim, it's built on the robe. What type of robe is it? It's a robe delayed to come on. That's a weaker robe. A robe that's not in front of me, that's a weaker robe than a robe to eat to come on. So this is the case where Rabbi Yochanan says, we're not going to burn Truma based on a chazaka, based on the presumption. The presumption is that the kid was Tame. So now we'll do a few more lines and then we'll pause in a minute. Eloezel chazaka Rabbi Yochanan shesorfin on the Truma. What would be an example of a chazaka where Rabbi Yochanan would say, yeah, we do burn Truma for it. Now it should be kid to Tanya. Like we learn in the Braisa, Isa b'tocha bayit. Let's say a person has dough in his house, and we'll say it's truma. Ushratz mesfardim metaplim sham. It doesn't win like the cleanliness award, but there are shratzim. Again, there's chayas are like wild animals, like a deer is a chaya. Then there are behemas, like a cow, a goat, a sheep is a behema. Then there are shratzim. Shratzim are creeping, crawling creatures, but now, if an animal is in the vela, in other words, let's say you have the giraffe or the cow or the deer, and I take my gun and shoot it, that's tame. It's an avatuma. That's in the vela. A dead sheretz, if it's one of the eight shratzim that the Torah sets forth, that's also an avatuma. That's also an avatuma. It's not an animal, but it's also an avatuma. And then you have ramasim, other creeping, crawling creatures that aren't tame. So here I have isa b'tocha bayit. I have dough in the house. Let me just see. All right. I have dough in the house, and I have shratzim in the house, and I have tzfardim in the house. The shratzim upon death are avatuma. The tzfardim are not an avatuma. He says, the taplim sham, the way Rashi seems to describe it, they somehow like shed some of their limbs. I don't know what's going on, but they shed some of their limbs. He says, "V'nimsu chatichot be'isa," and now we see pieces of limbs in the dough. Yeah. So imrov shratzim tamea. So if most of the creatures in the house are shratzim, then we're going to assume that the dough is tamei, because the piece of the sheretz is tamei. Imrov tzfardim torah. If most of tzfardim, that's tahora. So that's a case we have a ruba to eat to come on, a robe that's in front of us, because it's not statistical. In other words, in the house, like theoretically, I could count up, do I have more shratzim here or more tzfardim here? So here, that's a stronger rove. So in this case, the Rabbi Yochanan says, this rove we're going with, and then that would cause us to burn the truma. All right, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did so far? All right, let me go on. Now, we're 5 lines from the bottom. Tani kavati to Rabbi Yochanan. So the key is, Rabbi Yochanan says, coming back to the case with the dough, with the child, Rabbi Yochanan holds, like the Chachamim, that it's Tameh, means I can't eat it, but I can't burn it either, because I don't know for sure that, because remember, it was smoke mutila, well, not smoke mutila, kazaka. Yeah. So Rabbi Yochanan, though, still feels that that's a weaker kazaka. He says, so when so Rabbi Yochanan holds that when the Chachamim say it's Tameh, so if you look at the first white line in Rashi, he says the Chiyami Rabbanan Litlot Tameh. So the Chachamim just mean that you can't eat it, but you can't burn it either. That's what we think. So you're going to have to hold it there. Okay, now let's just focus on the Gemara. Okay, 1 minute. Now the Gemara says, Tani Kvati Rabbi Yochanan. We learn a brisa that supports Rabbi Yochanan. Shnei Dvarim Abraham Dat Lishayo. There are two things or situations where the element which is touching an object is Abraham Dat Lishayo. So the Gemara learns in Rishuti Yachid, we said Safik Tumah Shuti Yachid Sveiko Tameh, Safik Tumah Shuti Rabbi Sveiko Tahor, but if it's a davar shein bo dat lishayel, then even rishus yachid sveiko is tahor. Then where do we know that? Then we know it from the sota. The sota, she has das. I could cross examine her. So if it's something that ain bo dat lishayel, the safik will be tahor in both places. So Rabbi Yochanan says shnei dvarim ain bo dat lishayel. So that should. So if I have a safik tuma, it should be tahor. Va'asum chachamim k'ma sheish bo dat lishayel. But the chachamim made it like more worse, like we're going to treat it like a davar sheish bo dat lishayel. So if it's b'rishus yachid, it's going to be tamid. That's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. He says one case is the tinok. In other words, the tinok is ein bo dat lishayel, the tinok with the dough, and the chum said mitamim, it's tamay, but that's what we think they hold. V'od acher, another case. Tinok hadama, the tinok case we did already. Voda charet mahi, what's the other case? Isa betoch habayit. Let's say there's dough in the house. So the dough is in the Rishut Yachid. And again, we'll assume the dough is truma. But tarnagolim mashkim tmeim sham. They have chickens in the house and mashkim tmeim, mashkim that are tame there. Benim tzu, turn page on the top line, nikurim nikurim be'isa. We see these peck holes in the dough. So we know the chickens have been pecking at the dough. Tolin lo ochlin velo sorkin. So we have to leave the dough where it is. In other words, I'm not going to eat the dough, but I'm not going to burn the dough either. Okay, and we're going to explain why. In other words, the concern is that the chickens took some of the tummy liquid and touched it onto the dough. That's where we're concerned. Now we assume that there's an equivalence between these two cases because the Brisa mentioned it together. One is the child with the regular dough. And the child was touching all the shkatzim and the ramasim, and he touched it. That was one case. And the other case is the chickens with the dough. Okay, now, he says, tolin lo ochlin velo sorkin. Let's see the Rashi, the top Rashi on Payam Beis. Tolin means we hold in abeyance. Im isazu shel truma, if the dough is from truma, chayshin shema shatu atarnagolim imashkim atameim, we're concerned that maybe the chickens ate from the mash or drank from the mashkim that were tamei. He says, "V'oda mashke tofeach b'char tumeim." And when the mashkim was still like splashing around on their beaks, nakru be'isa, they pecked away the dough, and then the mashke touched the dough. So it's not that. In other words, the animal during its lifetime can't become tamei. But the animal could take the mashke tamei and touch it and bring it to the dough. So we're saying in both these cases, the Chachamim upped it. In other words, the chicken can't talk and be cross-examined, and the child can't be cross-examined. So we assume that there's an equivalence between both cases. And just like in the case with the chickens, we're told that we're not going to burn the truma, we're not going to eat the truma. So too with the case with the child, this like supports Rabbi Yochanan. We're not going to eat the truma. We're going to treat it like tmeya, but we're not going to burn the truma. Okay, that's going to be the proof. So the Gemara says on the second line now, Amri b'Shuben Levi. Shuben Levi says Lo Shanu El Mashkim Levanim. This halach is only true if it's Mashkim Levanim, meaning it's like a white liquid, a clear liquid, because I can't tell whether the chicken did or did not put the mashke on the dough. But assuming that the mashke was red, in ita denakir, if it would be that the chicken had stuck his beak into the red liquid and then taken some of that red liquid and going over to the dough, made the yediyah. So it would have been, I would have seen it. So we're talking about a case where the liquid is like a white liquid or something that I wouldn't see the marks on the dough. But if it's a red liquid, Rabbi Shimon Levi says, all bets are off. Because red liquid, if there's red there, then I'll say it's tameh. If no red there, I'm going to say it's tahor. So the Gemara says, v'dilma bla'atinu isa. Maybe the dough absorbed even the red, and it had red liquid, and I can't see it now because it got absorbed in the dough. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Davar says Shema Berebi, Uperushalo Shema. Yochanan said, could it be Berebi means Rabbi Shimon Levi? Could it be Rabbi Shimon Levi heard this halacha? I didn't hear this explanation that I'm going to say. It's Loshanu Elomashkim Tzlulim. So this halacha, Rabbi Yochanan says, is by mashkim like clear liquids. It means it could be red, but it's clear or a light red. Shebabua Shaltinok Nikarba. The reflection of a child you could see in the liquid, a very sort of light-colored red. He says, so then, I don't know whether the chicken had the liquid or didn't have the liquid. Aval mashkim achurim, but if it's like a dirty liquid, achurim like a turbid liquid, lo, that would not be the case. So let's take a look, one second. Okay. Okay, I think we're good with this. Okay, so I think we explained that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold from the chazaka to burn the truma, and that was we had a very weak robe. We had a ruba d'leita come on, you know, to support it. But when it's a ruba d'ita come on, like with the shratzim and svardim, then he held that I would burn it. And then we had a proof to Rabbi Yochanan from this last brisa. His last price equates an equivalence between the child with the dough and the chickens with the liquid. And the case with the chickens with liquids, the price says, Mefuresh, Tola, I'm not going to burn it. And the price mentions both of them together. We assume that the same thing would be true with the child with the dough, that we would not burn it. All right?
It's something you can ask. It's tower.
Right. So, right, that's correct. In this case, they made it more strict. In this case, with the two cases, with the Tino and the chicken case, yeah. Then you're the Safik. It has to be a Safik. Then you're in better shape. Okay. All right. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Okay, go ahead. We have a question here. 1 minute.
Wait. So people don't have to ask me. You see the chicken. You see the bites that you took from the Isa, and you cut that portion and the rest is part of the whole.
Again, the issue wasn't the chicken touching the dough. The issue was the chicken taking the liquid and touching the dough. So if he took the liquid and touched the dough, the whole dough is now tummy. Okay. Then the ex post facto, it doesn't help. Okay. All right. Let's go back. One second. Okay, so I'm going to move on unless anybody has any more questions. Okay. So now we're on the Mishnah on Payam and Bays. This is our last substantive of the Mishnah in the effect, dealing with Dinam of Yichud, being alone with a woman, or a woman being alone with a man. It's not the last Mishnah of the Mishnah, but the last Mishnah, which Blin Eder will, last Mishnah will be on Shabbos, they're sort of like, you know, talking about studying Torah and things like that, a little bit lighter, but this is the last substantive Mishnah. Okay, Manitin. Lo yidchid adam im shtei nashim. A man should not be alone, even with two women. So the Gemara is going to explain that that women are datan kalot. In other words, what it means that they're easily seduced. So he could be a man with two women. So both women would be okay with him. You know, maybe fooling around with one, and the other one will fool around with him the second. So a man should not be alone with two women, is what the Mishnah says. He says, "Aval isha achad, one woman mityacheded im shnei anashim. One woman could be alone with two men." And we'll see in the Gemara is going to say, when we say one woman could be alone with two men, it's talking about two men who are ksherim, they're upstanding men. If the two men are mushchatim, and even 10 men, she shouldn't be alone with them because they're a bunch of mushkakim. He says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, now there's a lot of different ways to understand this line. I'll read it one way and then we'll do another way. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Af Ishachad Mityached Im Shtei Nashim, Rabbi Shimon says that one man could be alone with two women, Bizman She'ishto Imo, as long as his wife is there as well. So if the wife is there, the wife would be like a policeman to him. So then he could be alone with these two women and the wife is there as well. He could even sleep in the same room in the inn with these two other women as long as his wife is there. Because his wife will keep an eye on him and he knows what's coming to him if he makes a wrong move. Okay, that's it. Now, another way to understand this Mishnah, which is the way the Baalei Tosfot do, is it's two separate halakot. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Af Ishachad Mityached Im Shtei Nashim, that Rabbi Shimon disagrees with the Tana Kama. A separate halakha. Rabbi Shimon says, the Tana Kama holds, one woman can be alone with two men, but one man can be alone with two women. Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's the same thing. Just like one woman can be alone with two men, so too, one man can be alone with two women. That's according to Rabbi Shimon. And then a separate halacha is Bizman she'ishto imo b'yasheni men b'pundaki ne'ishto m'shamarto, that if his wife is there, he can even be alone even with one woman. That's a separate halacha. In other words, that's not Rabbi Shimon. That everybody holds. Even the Chamim. Let's see the Tosfos on this. So if you look at Tosfos, one second. We'll explain shortly. You look at the beginning of Tosfos, on the top Tosfos, the second line, he says, Mashma de la Rabbanan, afilu ishto imo asur l'techeid im shtei nashim. So the first way I read the Mishnah, it sounds like Reb Shimon says that a man could be alone with two women if his wife is there. So that sounds like, according to the Chachamim, the Tanakama, that even if his wife is there, he can't be alone with two women. That's what it sounds like. And even according to Reb Shimon, if his wife is there and there are two women, even with one woman, that's the way it sounds. Then Tosfos brings difficulties from other Gemaras, but slipping down in the Tosfos around the 10th narrow line, where it says, one line above the base in parentheses, it said, Reb Shimon Iri. Rabbi Shimon Iri, b'she'ein ishto imo. Rabbi Shimon is talking about that his wife is not with him. He says, dafka, v'hachi gar sinan. Rabbi Shimon Omer, af ish echad mityachedim shtein Hashem. In other words, Rabbi Shimon holds that a man could be alone with two women. A man could be alone with two women. U'bizman she'ishto imo, and in addition to which, if his wife is with him, yashini mehem b'puntaki, he could be alone with women in the inn. They should ishto mishamarto ba'atana filu rabbanan. In other words, even the chamim hold by that second halacha, but filu im isha achad, even with one woman. So again, so the second way we're learning, according to the Baalei Tosfot, Reb Shimon says a man could be alone with two women, and then everybody holds that if your wife is with you, then you could even be alone with one woman, if your wife is with you. We'll see. Now, then, the Gra learned this Mishnah a third way. The Gra learns that Reb Shimon holds that's which we said for everybody, according to the Baalei Tosfot, the Gra holds is what Reb Shimon holds. So Reb Shimon holds, Af Ishachad Mityachedim Shtei Nashim, it means that even with one woman, the Gra understands. It says Shtei Nashim only to reflect the language of the Tana Kama. So Reb Shimon holds that a man can be alone even with one woman as long as his wife is with him. But that's the sheet of Reb Shimon, according to the Gra. Okay, so we have three ways to learn this. Now, it's important to mention, there's a machloket Rishonim, are the dinim of Yichud, dinim d'oraisa, or dinim d'rabbanan? So it's a machloket, but the way Rabbi Leibowitz said, is that most Rishonim take it that it's a din d'oraisa. Most take it that it's a din d'oraisa. Okay, now.
What's single woman or married woman?
For a married woman is definitely an erva. If it's a single woman, I think there's some shitot that hold that's in the rabbanon of the single woman. But certainly it's prohibited. Certainly it's prohibited. In other words, you can't have yichud with any woman. You can't have yichud with any woman. But it might be that the single woman might be a din d'rabbanan. Okay? No, yeah, but I have to look that up. Okay? Now, it says, the Mishnah says, mityacheda adam im imo bim bito. A man could be alone with his mother or with his daughter. Yashenim im bekiruv basar. He could sleep with them. Now, it says, in other words, let's say the man is 5 years old and he's sleeping with his mother. That's fine. They could even, like, be in physical contact. Or the man is sleeping with his daughter and she's 3 years old and in physical contact. Mimhigdilu, but if they get older, let's say, you know, he's already a teenager or whatever, the girl's older. Zu yishena besuto, b'zeh yishena besuto. Then they sleep, but they have to have, you know, like, separate clothes, you know, clothing and not touching one another. Okay? Okay. So that's the Mishnah. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on the Mishnah? Yeah, so I think yichud is the amount of time it would take to have relations with a woman, and there's different shitot, but it's the amount of time that, like, you do, like, after a chasana, you have yichud. So I think they wait, is it like 9 minutes or something like that? Somewhere along that, though, those lines. We'll talk. The idea is to keep the door open to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, but we'll talk. It's not so much at a lot of different things. Okay, so let's see. We'll do a little bit of the Gemara and then we'll pause. Okay, so the Gemara says now, focusing on the Tanakama said, Lo yitachein adam yishtei nashim, a man should not be alone with two women, but a woman could be alone with two men. So Gemara, my taima. So Tanakama, why can a man not be alone with two women? Wouldn't one woman keep the eye on the other woman? My Tama, Tana de Eliyahu. So Bryce was learned to the base manager of Eliyahu, or it means that Eliyahu Anabi taught Bryce's to Rabbi Anan. There's another way to understand this. Hoyil v'nashim da'atan kalod aleihem. The women, da'atan kalod here means that they're easily seduced. Let's see Rashi. He says, da'atan kalod aleihem, ushteim nochot lehipatot. So both women could be on the same sort of wavelength with this. The and if you look at the Rashi on the Mishnah, Ushtei Nashim, they should datan kala, Ushtei Mnochot le Patot, below Tirazu Mechaberta. In other words, one won't be inhibited from the presence of the friend. Shavhita second of the question. We hope she'll pull around and I'll pull around. We'll do it. So he says, Menani Mili. So where do we know this din of Yichud? So Am Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yishmael. So Rabbi Yochanan is the first generation of Amoraim. He has a Mesorah from the town Rabbi Yishmael. Remez the Yichud min Torah minayin. Where is there a remez for Yichud in the Torah? So again, remez the Yichud min Torah sounds like that sounds like that way. But notwithstanding that, a lot of Rishonim take it that this is a limud and it's doraisa. He says Shinemar ki sitcha chicha benimecha. It says I think this is in Parshat Re'eh. If yisitcha, if your maternal brother seduces you and says, "Let's do a avodah zara," don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. Why does the Torah say if you're, in other words, you share one parent in common, the mother, not the father? Why does the Torah give the kimta that way? In other words, he's saying like this, like if it would be that a child could not be miyached with their parent, so let's say the mother got divorced and remarried, so then this child wouldn't hang out with the mother so much anymore. Maybe if the stepfather's there, that would help. But in other words, like that would be a disincentive for him to hang out. But the Torah here is teaching us that ben mityachid imimo. That in other words, even if the mother went off to another relationship, the son could be alone with the mother, so he'll hang out there. He says, ba'asur l'tyachidim chlorayot shebatorah. But as a corollary for that. So it's saying the son could be miyachid with his mother, but all the other arayot are prohibited. And era means like, you know, sister or whatever, all the other, and I shouldn't say sister, but all the other prohibited relations. So it means, let's say, you know, a married woman. Well, but the sister is a little tricky. I'll explain in a little bit. But it means that all the other prohibited relations in the Torah. So he says, so the Gemara says, so what's the simple pshat in the Pasuk? In other words, we gave this whole shtickle Torah. What's the simple pshat in the Pasuk? So Amar Abaye, Lomi Baye Kamar. So Abaye says, the Torah is saying, it goes without saying. Lomi Baye Ben Av, Disani Le, Ba'ayit Slei, Eto Raot. In other words, not only Ben Av, let's say he's my paternal brother, So my paternal brother, like, naturally hates me. He says, why? Because I'm going to share the Yerusha with him. It's like he views me as like a competitor for dad's estate. So he hates me. And so he's likely to give me bad eitzes. So I shouldn't listen to him. That goes without saying. Even my maternal brother, he says, the low son, who doesn't hate him. We get along fine. We're not sharing any Yerusha. We're pals. Aim at Sayyati, like, I would think I should listen to what he tells me. Kamash Malan. So Kamash Malan, no, I shouldn't listen to him. I shouldn't listen to him. Now, all right, one second. Let me just take a look about the Erva. One second. All right. So certainly a married woman would be an erva. I tell you, with the sister, so technically a man, I think, is allowed to be alone with the sister, but they say that but they shouldn't live like together more than 30 days together. So that's why I thought the sister is a little bit different. Okay, let me read a little bit from some of these sheets and then we'll move on. Okay, now this is from, this first piece is from the Al Hadaf. Okay, the law of Yichud forbids a man to be secluded in a room with a woman to ensure they do not come to sin. The Mishnah on Peyam Abbas says the man is forbidden to be secluded with two women, and certainly not with one. There is a dispute among the Rishonim as to whether a man is forbidden to be secluded with three or more women. So again, in the Mishnah we said a man can't be alone with two women, right? But but leave the wife out of it. I can't be alone with two women, but I would think, it sounds like, we'll see in a minute. He says, Rashi on Pei Beis Amud Aleph deduces from the wording of our Mishnah that the seclusion with two women is forbidden, but seclusion with three or more women is permitted. So the way Rashi learns it is you can't be alone with two women, but you could be alone with three women. You could be alone with three women. Let me see if I see this Rashi. Lo yitachid, 1 second.
It's not alone anymore.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
One man with three women is not what you call alone.
Well, one second, Ruth. So if you look at Rashi on Pei Beis Amud Aleph around the 15th line, it's in the, on Pei Beis, 42a. So it's around 15 lines down or 20 lines down. Look at Chedim Hanashim. Here it's talking about like a person who's a, cosmetic salesman. He shouldn't be miyachid with many women. I feel Nashim, the piece of the Libo Gaspahu. He's comfortable with them, so he shouldn't be alone even with five women. They all like protect him. The ilu isha chrina, but another man, Rashi says, but with three or four women, it's fine. Rashi learns. So the then he says here, Tosfos on Pebe's and the Rambam disagree and maintains that the wording of the Mishnah is not precise. It does not mean to limit the prohibition to two women, rather yichud is forbidden even with numerous women. So he says. So the Tosfos quotes that, he says even with Nashim Harbe. Now, the Mishnah on Pei Beis states that one whose profession brings him into constant contact with women, for example, a cosmetic salesman, may not seclude himself with women. This halacha requires clarification, since the Mishnah on Dapei says any man, regardless of the trade, can't be alone with women. So Rashi explains that cosmetic salesmen may not be in seclusion with many women. In other words, if the way Rashi learns it, a garden variety man, I can't be alone with two women. Three women, I could be alone with. The cosmetic salesman, he can't be alone even with, let's say, five women, because they're used to me and they're comfortable with me, and who knows what's going to happen. He says, a man who constantly deals with women must take extra precautions, since he is particularly familiar with women as a result of his occupation. He says, the Rambam, who forbids any man from seclusion with numerous women, but the Rambam learns a man, no man can be alone even with many women. He explains the Mishnah on Pei Beis is not placing stringency on cosmetic salesmen. Rather, the Mishnah teaches that even a cosmetic salesman must adhere to the law of Yichud, even though his profession demands that he oftentimes be in seclusion with women. The Mishnah teaches there is no room for leniency. In other words, there's no heter. In other words, even if that's your trade and profession, we're not going to in any way bend the laws of Yichud for you. So again, the same laws of yichud apply for everybody, whether you're a doctor, not a doctor, you're, you know, a rabbi, doctor, lawyer, you have the same laws of yichud. So with the doctor, the issues can be in play. One way would help is if you bring like a nurse in, who would certainly help the situation. And if they know that somebody could come in at any point in time, that would help the situation with the doctor. Now, the thing is, even if he brings the nurse in there, so we said that a man should not be alone with two women. So that doesn't totally get him into the clear. So I would think that if there's a concern the doctor's examining the woman, but I think if there's a concern that at any moment other people will come in, then I would think that that might help the doctor's situation. It's a little more problematical, I think. You know, let's say, I mean, there's a lot of different professions. Let's say somebody's a therapist, you know, and they're alone with the client, you know, for an hour or whatever it is. So then he's a man with a woman. So then, you know, like, what's the heter for that? I don't know what the heter for that would be. You know what I mean? That would be more problematical, it seems to me. Anyway, but let's see back in the Gemara. Now, because that, right? Yeah. Well, that's the way the Bali Tosa would probably take it. That's the way the Rama would take it. So the Rashi, I think, would take it that I think Rashi would take it. If you have two women, maybe they'll go along. You do, I'll do it like that. But if, let's say, I have five women, you know, can anyone be sure that everybody's going to be along with this, whatever? You know, that's the way I think Rashi would take it. Okay, let's see further in the Gemara now. Back on Pamela Bays. And, now the Gemara says, so we're up to Nema Manitin. Okay, Nema Manitin, Loka Abba Shul. Should we say, and again, I have to check about those laws of Yehud with the doctor and the therapist and things like that, but the klalim you have, the klalim are, am I concerned that people walk in at any time? That's one klal, and getting other people in the room, that would be, you know, also helpful, you know. So the Gemara says, Nema Manitin Loka Abba Shul. Should I say that our Mishnah is not like Abba Shul? Tanya, we learned the Brisa, Kol Shloshim Yom, if a child dies within 30 days of birth, he says, Yotzei Bechek, so the child is not put in a coffin, he's carried out, like, you know, just in the arms, V'nikbar is buried, V'isha Achad U'Shnei Anashim, with one woman and two men present. Now, the Beit HaKvarot is a secluded place, and we're assuming people aren't around there, but you can have one woman and two men, not with one man and two women. So far, so good. But Abba Shaul Omer, Abba Shaul says, I can even do a burial with one man in attendance and two women in attendance. So that seems against the Tanakam or our mission. That seems against the Tanakam or mission. No. So we think our mission is not like Abba Shaul. So the Gemara says, Afilu Tema Abba Shaul. The Gemara says, you can reconcile our Mishnah with the sheet of Abba Shaul. In other words, the Abba Shaul would say, in general, I hold like the Tana Kama, that it's not right for one man to be alone with two women, but in a time of aninus, a time of mourning, so that like breaks the Yetahara. In other words, the Yetahara is, you know, it's weaker then, so you don't have to worry about it as much. Rabbanan Sabri La Kirab Yitzchak. Now the Chachamim are rejecting that. In other words, the Chachamim are a kulik with Abba Shaul even at a funeral. So Rabbanan Sabri La Kirab Yitzchak. They hold like Rabbi Yitzchak. The Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, Ma Yitonin Adam Chai Geber Al Chata'a. This Pasuk in Eicha, what does a living man mourn for, a man over his sins? So the way they darshan the Pasuk is, what does Aninus help a man overcome his Yetzer Hara, as long as he's alive, he says, Yever al Chata'av. He says he has to overcome his Yetzer Hara. In other words, Mayitonein Adam, like how does Aninus help a person? He says, Chai, as long as he's alive, Yever al Chata'av. He has to overcome his Yetzer Hara. Afil b'shad Aninu toshel Adam, Yitzro mitgaber alav. So the Chachamim say that pasuk shows us that there's no difference between aninus or regularly. In other words, I can't discount the Yetzer Hara. The Abba Shaul, Hikitiva hu, Mitraim Aminotakti. Rabbi Shul learns the pasuk differently. He says that pasuk is talking about something totally different, a person who's complaining about his lot in life. The Haki Kamar, Mayitraim Aminotav, why should a person complain about what a Kaddish Baruch Hu has allotted him in this life? V'chi gavar al chata'og. Did he overcome all of his Yetzihara? In other words, what are you complaining about? You've done a Beirut. So, Dayo Chayim Shenatatlo. It's enough life that I gave him. So that erases the Chachamim's argument. So, but the Chachamim still don't agree with Abba Shaul. Rabbanon, Kihuma said that he itched the Dahava Uvda Ba'afikdom. Some of our concern, there was an incident. Well, let's see with Rashi. So, it's eight lines above working the wide lines. Eight lines above Rabbanon. Even assuming arguendo that you're correct, that a person's Yetzirah is broken in a time of aninus, I still have to be concerned. Sometimes there is no aninus there. But they're engaging in a pretense that they're carrying a dead child. V'yotzin la'aveira, but they're really going out to do an aveira. Kiahu uvda, like this incident that occurred, Dava uvda ba'yitta ba'pike latino kai, she brought out a live child, the chesket made, like the pretense that he was dead, la soda veira ima holechima, to engage in like sexual acts with the one coming with her, lakovro. So you have to guard against everything. That's Rashi has a different lashon, but I'm not going to go through it now. Now, let's look back in the Gemara. So, what? Say it again, what? Rashi has a different version. Okay, now, then he says, all right, the Lashon Acher that Rashi has is, he doesn't learn the word Rabbanon here. Everything is Abba Sha'ul. He says that he learned that the Pshat and the Pasuk was, like, what are you complaining? It's enough, like, life. In other words, don't complain to Hashem about all these things. And there's a Gemara that says about this woman was, you know, complaining too much about the death. And finally, her sons died, and she afterwards, it could she had tainas against the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Aval Isha Achat, but we said in the Mishnah that that Isha Achat could be miached with two men. Amar Yudim Rav Lo Shanu El B'Ksheirim. So Rav says it's only the two men are Ksheirim. They're like from, you know, upstanding men. Then one woman can be alone with two men. Aval Beprutzim, if there are a bunch of Mushchatim. I feel Beyasaranamilo, even the 10 of them, there's no guarantee because they're all on the same page that they're doing preaches. Havamasa Botiua Asara Bamita. The Gemara says that he says there was an incident where 10 men took out a woman in like a beer, B-I-E-R, you know, under the pretense that she's dead, but they wanted to have, you know, Zeus with her. So people do that. Amar of Yosef. This is, you see, like 10 people get together and they steal a big beam. They need 10 people to carry the beam, and the 10 men are stealing the beam, but they're all getting together and nobody's embarrassed from anybody else, and they're doing it. So sometimes things will be very wrong, but everybody's on the same page and doing the wrong thing. What? Why? In other words, like you have a Yetzirah for steal, you have a Yetzirah for Zanus. In other words, just like people aren't embarrassed in front of, in other words, you would be embarrassed, I assume, in front of like a from person to steal something, or most people would. But if everybody's on the same page, then everybody the violates the law. The same thing, everybody's on the same page. Now, the Gemara says, name a Messiah, should we say that the following brisa supports Rav? Rav says that it's only Ksherim help, but if they're not Ksherim, not. So he brings down this Mishnah from Masechet Sota, which should be familiar to Zafiomi people. Remember, the husband, you know, gave the wife a warning, and then she violated the warning, and now he's bringing her to Yerushalayim. But he can't be miyached with her. Now she's, right. And not only that, the Shem Hashem will be dissolved for no reason. It'll be Mechikat Shem Hashem, not for any reason, if he's alone with her. So he says, so Moshe lo shnei tamid chachamim. So the Beis Din assigns the man two tamid chachamim to accompany him, because maybe he'll have relations with the wife on the way to Yerushalayim, and then the water won't work, and then they'll be violating the Mechikat Shem Hashem. So the implication is Tamid Chachamim in Shita Amalo, that it's just Tamid Chachamim to accompany him, because that'll be the chilling effect, but a regular person not. that shows that Talmidei Chachamim are a different situation than Prutzim. So the Gemara says, no, not necessarily proof. It could be the reason they have two Talmidei Chachamim there, Shani Talmidei Chachamim, Yadi La'atriyede. They know how to give him Hasra'a. He says on the top line in Rashi, La'atriyede Shim Yabola in my Bokinotan. In other words, they know, you should know that if you have relations with her, besides so whatever affair you're doing, the water's not going to come out too well. All right, let me just do a little bit. Let's do a story and I'll be it. Okay, a certain young woman. No, this is the wrong story. One second. What's the story? Hold it. Okay, I got it. Okay. In order to exhort people to keep the important halakhos of Yichud, Rav Menashe Klein once pointed out some frequent mistakes. Some people mistakenly believe that one violates Yichud only in a structure that has walls. They believe that being secluded in a field or other open space is permitted. Although in fields and places where people are often passing, there's no Yichud, in forests and other places which are off the beaten path, provision of Yichud definitely applies. Similarly, the prohibition applies to any place where people seldom go. Now, again, there's an idea. Again, there's an idea that sometimes you have the door open to the Rishus HaRabim, but if nobody's going on the block, that doesn't do anything. You know, so, like you were saying with the office, and it was, I'm opening the door, but there's nobody in the hallway. It doesn't do anything. People, he says, actually, a field or open space is really more serious than a spot within a city. This clearly emerges from the Gemara on Kedushin Pei and Pei Aleph. Although in a city, a woman may be secluded with two kosher people, outside of a city, she requires three. In light of this, it's clearly a very bad thing for a boy and girl to be in a very secluded place. Although they may be dating for the sake of heaven, determine if the other party is a fitting match, and they mean no harm, they're actually violating the halakha. He continued, this is especially prevalent during the summer when people are in the country. People often meet to hike or picnic in the forest. This is a serious problem, especially at night when there is a clear violation of Yichud. I deeply hope the parents and teachers of these children will distance their children from such crooked paths which do not lead to Hashem. In our generation, especially in the U.S., where people tend to do exactly as they please, one who wishes to have good children, kosher descendants will be sure to be careful to contemplate the paths that our ancestors always tread. There is no other tried and true method of protecting the Jewish people from assimilation. The Gentile nations, Tosh Felm, those who care about remaining part of the Jewish people will surely be circumspect regarding such essential law. Okay, I got to call it a day. One second, we'll end the recording.